Podcaster News Show, Episode 1. Are you obsessed with new and noteworthy?
It's the Podcaster News Show, where the editors of PodcasterNews.com share their insights on a wide range of podcasting topics.
Yes, welcome to the brand new Podcaster News Show, a podcast that we're going to be running through the Podcaster News website. And my name is Sean Thorpe, and I will be your, host for today's show. And I have a special guest with me. Why don't you introduce yourself, guest?
Hi, I'm Jen Thorpe, and I'm brand new to Podcaster News.
So welcome, everybody. And to give you a quick background here, the plan with the Podcaster News Show, as we're calling it, is, well, our chief executive editor, Todd Cochran, threw this out to us a little while ago. That is the contributors to the site. And he asked each and every one of us to produce a one podcast a month per contributor. And because I have the fortunate luxury of being married to one of, well, the newest contributors to the site, I asked her if she would join me on what is obviously not only the first episode of the Podcaster News Show, but also, the first official contribution from me, Sean. So thank you for listening. And today I decided to pick a topic, and again, to give you a little background here. Really, the only direction that Todd gave us with regards to these episodes was just kind of pick a topic and do a little bit of an editorial on it. And one thing that I have noticed in the last 6 months or so in the different podcasting forums that I frequent is a lot of discussion about the new and noteworthy section in iTunes. Now, Jen, are you familiar at all with new and noteworthy?
I've heard of it. I don't pay a lot of attention to it. Maybe I should, but I don't pay attention to the best-selling book, titles,
right?
Either. I kind of find what I like, and I like it because I like it, not because it's new and noteworthy. But I think a lot of others seek out new and noteworthy to kind of form the direction of which thing they should listen to and or read next.
Well, I think your comparison of new and noteworthy to, say, a best-selling book list is somewhat accurate. And it's weird because for years, I always thought that getting any kind of a feature in the iTunes podcasting directory was solely at the hands of Apple. And I think under most circumstances, that's true. Obviously, the iTunes store has a staff, one that is devoted to the podcasting section. Most of the time when things get featured, it's selected by those people. But it seems to have come to light by whatever means that there are methods you can follow to actually get listed in the new and noteworthy section. And of course, none of this is foolproof. And I've been podcasting, and so has Jen, since 2005. And to the best of my knowledge, no shows we've ever been associated with have made it into new and noteworthy.
I don't think so. I have one I'm doing now that had some popularity to it, but I don't think it's the type to get featured in that kind of thing because it's a gaming podcast.
The thing that I want to say here is we're not experts on, how to get into new and noteworthy, and this isn't really a podcast about the nuts and bolts and how to do it. But if you have some basic internet search skills, you can find all kinds of tutorials from people who claim that they did it and this is how they've done it. And if it's true, and it probably is, then it at least proves that there is some science behind getting into new and noteworthy versus getting featured in other places in the iTunes store where clearly that's driven by the staff. One thing to consider is the section is called New and Noteworthy. And I think a lot of people see that as the two go together. in the sense that you can only get into new and noteworthy when you're a new show. And if the iTunes algorithms, or whatever you want to call them, identify the activity going on around your new show, and then you get featured, you thus become noteworthy, thus earning the magic title new and noteworthy. But I've seen in multiple places that, in fact, it's new. It should almost be like new and or noteworthy, because I've seen instances where people have said that they've actually been podcasting for a long time, and then they actually got into new and noteworthy. So this obsession that I see is really based on when someone first launches a new show. And kind of the rule of thumb that I'm seeing here is people say, well, if you hit iTunes really hard in the first 8 weeks after you start a new show, then you've got a much better chance of getting into new and noteworthy. And if it is indeed true that, well, if you see a big activity spike in your subscribers, downloads, reviews through iTunes, even if you're into it for 6 months or a year or more, then you may still get into new and noteworthy. So what I really want to get at here is podcasting to me is something that you approach because you have at least some plan to maybe do it long term, unless of course you're doing something like maybe an audio book or some other type of thing where you know going into it that it has a definite end point. And sometimes shows, Jen does one of these, run in seasons where it's not just a matter of, well, I'm going to do one show a day or one show a week, presumably into infinity. So there are some cases where, okay, maybe you're not necessarily doing it long term, but there's an idea that you're going to be doing it at least repetitively for a while. And one of the things that I've seen that has really kind of baffled me is I'm starting to see people who go on these different forums and they'll say, well, I've done my show now for, we'll just say 8 weeks, 9 weeks, whatever it is. And I was able to get into new and noteworthy. So hooray for that achievement. But I feel like maybe my exposure in there wasn't maximized.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking about relaunching my show.
So they can get into it again?
So they can presumably get into new and noteworthy again, presumably now doing whatever they believe is going to maximize that exposure and presumably get more downloads, bigger audience. I'm not sure. And this is one of those things where even some of the articles that I read about quote-unquote how to get into new and noteworthy, where they had some actual factual statistics about, you know, these are experiences I've had, or I contacted other people and got their experiences, and in some cases, provided all of this was true, people were saying, well, I had maybe 20 regular downloads before new and noteworthy, and afterwards I had 250, which is a huge increase. Sometimes in rare occasions, people went from having, again, 10, 20 downloads a day to 1,000 downloads a day. Some people, it made no difference. They got into new and noteworthy, and they didn't see any increase. New and noteworthy, while it's worth being in there because anything that you get, any kind of exposure, for lack of a better term, you get is a good thing. But it's not the automatic magic bullet that's going to send you from the dregs of obscurity to the golden palace of pod fortunes, wherever that is.
It's an interesting image, though.
And this is what I really want the takeaway to be on this, and that is, why are you podcasting to begin with? And if the answer is, I'm podcasting to be in new and noteworthy, and that's the main reason I'm podcasting, which seems like a really strange reason But if that's your reason, if that's your ultimate goal, if you love being in New and Noteworthy and you don't care about anything else, then by all means, every 8 weeks, relaunch your show and do your best to get into New and Noteworthy. If your point in making a podcast is you want to create something of long-lasting value, and I understand that is kind of a loaded term, but whether that's, you know, information, entertainment, whatever the case may be, then the better plan is to just, you know, produce and publish on a regular schedule, whatever that means for you, every day, 3 times a week, once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month. Maybe it's just whenever you want. The better plan to me, if you really want to build something, is be genuine, have fun. This is actually a question that someone posted today on one of these forums, and they said, what is your number one goal that you want to achieve when you produce a podcast, and how do you feel like you've achieved that? And my response is, my number one goal is I want to have fun. And if I feel like I'm satisfied when I'm done, then I know I've achieved that. And I know that some people would hear that and they would go, well, what about, you know, email conversions, or what about this, or what about, you know, new this or that, or, you know, ROI and charts and graphs, and all that stuff has its place. And for some, it's more important than others. And maybe it's just my own personal outlook. But I think if you can't enjoy actually making a podcast, if you don't enjoy that process, then you're always going to be kind of against the grain in doing it. If you say, well, I've got to make a podcast because I'm in whatever vertical and I see other people in my vertical are making pods, so I guess I got to have one too, and it's not really something you want to do. It's not really in your heart to do it. And you're sitting here going, well, I got to have this whole launch plan and I got to get into New and Noteworthy, or I failed and I have to relaunch and all this kind of other stuff. To me, it just feels like the wrong attitude to take to podcasting. And I know that we all love in life, you know, the big wins. And certainly getting featured in New and Noteworthy could be one of those things. And it's worth having if you want to do it. But the ultimate goal is all of that other time. I mean, you can't be in New and Noteworthy forever. So why not just come out of the gate and go, I'm going to publish a show. I'm going to enjoy it as much as I can, hopefully a lot. And, you know, do it the best I can and be consistent and kind of let the chips fall where they may. And, you know, you can always reiterate, or you can always reevaluate down the road. A lot of people do. A lot of shows go through organic changes. It's just the nature of things. And I don't know if I'm getting a little too if I'm getting a little too zen oriented here or something, but it's just the way that I see it. And maybe it'll be maybe I don't know if it'll be illuminating for anyone else, but maybe anybody else who's stressing over, you know, I'm starting my podcast and I have to be a New and Noteworthy, will hear this and feel a little better, a little at ease. So I don't know, Jen, if you have any other thoughts.
Yeah, I guess they kind of match yours to some degree. It sounds to me like this New and Noteworthy is in many ways being looked at like a bestseller list, New York Times or Amazon, mm-hmm. or what have you. And with that, I've read a lot about how this works with authors, and there is a lot of, oh my gosh, I need my first book to be on the bestseller list, or I'm just sunk. I'm never going to make it if I don't do that. And so they write something that they think a lot of people will want to read, which is not necessarily what they wanted to write, you know? Yeah. And so you've got this dichotomy between, this is my craft that I love doing, and I want to do this thing that I'm intrinsically interested in with it, and this is my craft that I love doing, but I'm going to make it into something that's more like work because I want this title of being on the bestseller. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't, I can't imagine it would be that enjoyable. But the other aspect of it is a lot of the bestseller lists have authors that are already insanely popular before, you know, they ever got on the list. They've got this huge fan base to begin with. So of course they're getting all these different, you know, they're getting, in the case of books, it's purchases. In the case of, I would think with podcasting, it would be downloads. You know, you get a famous person who's got a podcast, they're probably going to get a lot of attention right away, whether or not they're on the new and noteworthy, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, if they're getting on it, that's not necessarily an indication that your podcast with a smaller audience isn't good or isn't as good, you know? It's just a matter of numbers in this case. And the other significant thing that happens with the book bestseller list is there are companies out there, and they're kind of marketing companies, that are more than happy to sell authors a package that would basically rig the system to get their book on a bestseller list.
Yeah.
And it's been done by a bunch of people. They frequently get called out on it later on, but they've already got the sales, you know what I mean? And it's just a damage to their reputation potentially at that point, but not to their finances. Up to that point, it could, of course, affect future, you know, sales. If people right. go, oh, that guy did something nefarious. I don't want to read his book. I mean, that could happen. Now, with podcasting, a lot of people are doing it for free. It's not necessarily your career. There are some people who it is, but that's not, I think, the majority of podcasts, you know?
Right.
So what it's going to come down to is if there are, in fact, now, you know, companies that will tell podcasters, I'm going to get your podcast on that new and noteworthy list, you know, akin to what's going on in the book world, you really got to wonder, you know, like there could come a time, if this is not already happening, there could come a time where a podcaster who's brand new, just starting out, finally got the tech they wanted, figured out what their show is going to be, they're all excited, hears a pitch from one of these guys and goes, oh, well, I'm going to have to do that, spends a bunch of money and maybe doesn't really get much results, you know?
Well, it's interesting that you mention that, and it is worth discussing here, and that is, podcasting is kind of going through one of these up cycles right now. I mean, we're talking about a medium that is more or less 10 years old, and it's kind of gone through these ebbs and flows, and it's definitely on the upper side of a cycle right now. And anytime that happens, you get people that run into the medium and they set up these kind of, for lack of a better term, these like snake oil shops where they provide you some kind of level of training in how to make a podcast. And I don't know that anyone out there is promising actual, you know, getting to the golden pod palace in iTunes. If they say, take my course and I guarantee you'll get into new and noteworthy, you'll get this many downloads. I don't know if anyone out there is doing that, but
They could be, you know what I mean? And if they're not, I can see where they might do it, because if we've got this sudden interest by so many podcasters about getting on new and noteworthy, somebody out there is going to try to make money off of that, you know?
Well, of course. And that's the other thing to always consider. Anytime, I mean, and this just applies to anything in life, but anytime someone tries to, you know, they try to sell you the golden goose, as it were, then you need to run away from that person right away. I actually wrote a post earlier this year for Podcaster News about this whole kind of rise of the podcast snake oil salesman. And, you know, the advice I would give to anybody is the very first thing is, if you want to learn how to podcast, there's so much information online. Start there. So much of it is free. And if you still need trouble, then, you know, seek out, you know, whatever it is. If it's a course or a consultant or whatever, make sure that, you know, it's hard sometimes to vet, and I understand that. But I think the big thing is, if anybody promises you tons of downloads, tons of subscribers, and certainly if they make you believe that by following their tutelage, you will then make a lot of money in podcasting, then you need to run away, because this is not an easy medium to make money in. It's something you need to be in usually for a really long time before you'll make any money. And there's no guarantees in anything in life, but I can think of a lot of things in the scope of human endeavor that you can do, where if you said, I specifically want to do something to make money. Believe me, you can make money in podcasting. There's plenty of people that do, but there's a lot of other direct and more safer bets for the time and the money you're likely to put into it, which gets back again to kind of my first point, which is, you know, one of the top few, you know, maybe top two reasons that you want to get into podcasting because you think it'll be fun. It's something that you will enjoy the process of for at least a while. And then if you think that's true, then, you know, get into it. And hey, if you want to try to, you know, bum rush the charts and make a play for new and noteworthy, the information's out there. You can look for it. Have fun. But if you do or don't get into new and noteworthy, the bottom line is don't let it become an obsession and continue on and just, you know, keep making pods. So that'll do it for our first ever episode of the Podcaster News Show. Thank you for listening. My name is Sean Thorpe, and you can find Podcaster News at podcasternews.com, where we're updating frequently with the latest in the news of podcasting. So it's not just a clever name for the site. You can follow Podcaster News on Twitter at Podcasting News, and you can follow me on Twitter at Shawno, S-H-A-W-N-O. And what's your Twitter handle, Jen?
My Twitter is at Queen of Haiku, all one word. That's me on Twitter.
Okay, thanks everybody for listening. And I can't say for sure when the next Podcaster News Show will be, but I will be delivering another episode next month. So take care, and we'll talk to you then.